Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my friends. It is time once again for America's Most Haunted. I'm Eric Olson. This is going to be a fantastic show. Back with us is the world famous haunted housewife, Teresa Argy. We've missed you, Teresa.
I've missed you guys too. I know I haven't been on in a couple weeks. We got hit by Sandy, so I'm blaming her for my absence the last couple weeks, but we seem to be back up and running, so I'm glad to be back, and I'm excited to talk to our guest tonight.
Me too. Boy, oh boy, extra special. And before I forget, because I always do, be sure to check us out on Twitter and Facebook, both at AM Haunted. All right, well, most actresses will be thrilled to have a single movie coming out, but luscious scream queen Alina Madison has four, not one, not two, not three, but four horror-slash-thriller flicks coming out in the near future. She is the desperate mother and abused wife, Lorelei, or is it Lorelei? She can tell us in a moment. In Big Bad Wolf, until very recently known as Huff, who's apparently just changed, and that's with Charlie O'Connell, premiering in select cities April 2013. She's the edgy, flirtatious cave girl in the twisted comedy Halloween Party, coming to DVD more or less right now, as the lead, Alana Wilson, a caring mother and housewife in Ramon Menon's psychological thriller, The Black Tape, and as Francine, the beautiful and loyal wife of Dracula in Creep Creeperson's Dracula. Holy cats! That's a lot going on, Alina. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Yeah, that does sound like a lot.
You are an impressive actress, my friend.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much. Can I add one more thing in there that I just found out that's also being released in the spring of next year? Is called Vigilante Justice, which I also am a co-star in.
Holy cow. Where do you find time? What do you like? Set up all your productions like next door to each other, so you run back and forth. Okay, I got to change. Okay, put the blood on me now. All right, put the sexy outfit on me now. How do you do all that?
Well, funny enough, that has happened at times where I've been working on two things at the same time. So one has been a night shoot, and then I've had to go straight to like a 6 a.m. call time at something else that's completely different. So, yeah, that has happened.
How do you keep things straight in your mind? I mean, you know, performing, acting, I should say, it's not just performing, acting really requires a lot of concentration and focus. I would think it would be very difficult to switch like that.
Well, for those, I will say, going from one set, not only being up all night on a horror film, and then I literally went straight into a medical drama show. So I will say that was a bit difficult. That was a very hard day. That was a very hard day.
Method acting. Change
yes,
your
exactly.
whole world view. All right, well, you are, without question, this is a, you know, a general term that is now being applied to you, and it is a special term. It is reserved for special women. You're a scream queen. How did it happen? How did that become you?
Oh, well, over the course of time, I think is what happened. I started out in horror films when I first started acting. It was one of the first jobs that I booked, and I loved it. You know, I worked with John Carl Beekler, who directed, you know, one of the Friday the 13th and the original ones, and we did Miner's Massacre, and I got to work with Vernon Wells and Karen Black, and it was just such a fun experience, and it was so crazy that I was hooked after that. So I, you know, did a lot of horror films after that, and then eventually it came up as the Scream Queen.
Yes. Well, that is not a title to be handed out lightly. There really haven't been that many, you know. I know for a while anyway, Jamie Lee Curtis was called that, and then she kind of ran screaming the other way. from it, but certainly in the Halloween days, that, you know, I think she might have been one of the original ones. Although I think the title goes all the way back probably to the 50s or so. I don't know. Are you a horror buff, Teresa?
I love horror movies, and I've been watching them since I was way too young to be watching them. So I always dreamed of being a scream queen, even though they seem to meet untimely and gruesome deaths most of the time, I always thought it would be the coolest thing ever to be in a horror movie. So I'm super jealous of you, because what a way to make a living. I think it's awesome. And yeah, I used to follow the Scream Queens and the women, and Jamie Lee Curtis was great, you know, but you know, she had to move on. But to just strictly do horror movies and that type of movies, I think that would be a blast. I think that would be awesome. And I applaud you for it. I can't believe all the stuff you've got coming out. Holy cow. Amazing.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm really excited about it. It's going to be definitely a fun year. Although, I will say with the movie Halloween Party, that's actually not a horror film. It's a comedy. But that's the one that on there is not a horror film. But still, it's really funny, and I play Cave Girl, and it's, you know, crazy costumes, and it's literally looking for love in all the wrong faces because everybody's wearing a mask at this Halloween party.
Well, at least it has that Halloween connection, so it's not too far afield.
It does. Yes. Oh,
and
no,
it seems
there's
like a lot of horror
Halloween stuff.
A lot of horror movies have a fair amount of comedy in them anyway, especially these days, it seems like.
Yeah, you have to have the comedic relief, I mean, to go along, you know, with just, there's so much blood and gore and, you know, screaming and scary. So, yeah, you have to have a little bit of comedic edge in there.
A lot of actors I have read about or even talked to have said that they find horror and, you know, broadly defined thrillers, horror, even action to a certain extent, to be very cathartic. Is that something that you get out of it?
To some degree, I could definitely see that. I never really thought about it like that, but I could see the point of it. I mean, you know, you're just going to such a crazy place. And especially depending on the character that you're playing. Like, I've played all sorts of different characters, and, you know, anything from the heroine of the film to, you know, the murderer in the film. So, I mean, yeah, I could see that.
Well, let's talk about the movies. Let's walk us through it. Apparently, just in the last, I don't know, couple days, the movie Huff, the name was changed to The Big Bad Wolf. Is that true?
Yes. It got international distribution and by Archstone Entertainment, and they decided to go with Big Bad Wolf only because Huff doesn't translate in some languages, so it was kind of hard, you know, for the title. So they decided to go with Big Bad Wolf, and I think it's a good title as well, because it really does describe, everybody knows what the Big Bad Wolf is. So I think it will definitely read really well as far as foreign sales. So that's what happened there.
Yeah, I mean, even in English, when you just hear Huff, I mean, that's a little subjective. What is it, is it a drug film? Or, you know, this is actually a play, I guess, or sort of a parallel to The Three Little Pigs. Can you tell us about the story a bit?
Yeah, basically, Huff is my husband, and he's played by Charlie O'Connell, and I play Lorelai, his wife, and we have three daughters that are basically supposed to be, you know, kind of stand for the three little pigs, and we are married. I'm a total alcoholic. I'm a stripper. I'm just a horrible, disconnected mother who doesn't pay any attention to her kids or what is going on in the household. And Huff is just an abusive, just terrible person, terrible father. And you know, by the time, you know, there's a money deal gone wrong, you know, Huff has a mistress, and the three girls are just trying to survive. And, just everything falls apart, and by the time I figure it out, it's just unfortunately a little too late. So there's just a lot of twists and turns in the meantime of it all, and, you know, a lot of different characters, and, you know, everybody has their, you know, life thing going on, and, you know, there's some sad stuff in it, there's thriller stuff in it, and then, of course, there's, you know, the gore in it. So it has a little bit of everything for everybody.
And as I was mentioning to you right before we went on the air, I would absolutely suggest that all of our listeners go to Alina's website, which is, funnily enough, alinamadison.com. Very nice site. And she's got a great theatrical reel, which is just a bunch of little clips from her various performances. And I'll tell you, you really get a sense of her range and the variety, and it's a bewildering variety of roles, and it shows what a really, really good actress she is.
Oh,
not just a pretty face.
Well, thank you. Yes, hopefully everybody will go check out my website, and I'm also on Twitter at Alina Madison. So and I'm on Facebook as well, and I like to keep everybody posted on what's going on and what's happening. So, yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
I was watching your I'm sorry. I'm having a little trouble with my phone, so if I'm choppy, I apologize. I don't know if it's my phone or not, but I'm catching as much as I can of the conversation. But I watched your clip as well, and I'm a huge advocate of comedy needing to be in these type of films, because you can't. I think that when it's all gore, it just gets kind of boring with these horror movies. And I think the ones that are the best are the ones with comedy. And in that clip, it shows that you can do the comedy as well. And I love that. It was just watching the different characters in that clip is awesome. So I highly recommend anybody go to your website and watch that, because you do see it. You're not a one-trick pony, that's obvious. And I think it's great. Oh, my God, what a fun job you have. I'm so jealous.
Oh, thanks. And that is one of the other things, too, that I have to say about it, because, you know, I was talking to somebody last night. Actually, it was for one of the AFM parties that was for Big Bad Wolf, a.k.a. Huff, and she was asking me, she said, well, do you think that, you know, people that work in the horror films get enough credit for how much work it is and what you put into it? And I was like, well, I think sometimes not, because, you know, people will watch the film and, you know, some of the horror films can, you know, have the cheese factor, or, you know, they have the nudity, or they have, you know, whatever the formula is that they decided to go with. And people don't realize it. Like, we're up for nights after night, all night long, outside, cold, long, crazy hours, at the peak of having to be scared, screaming, you know, fearful, and all these things. And it requires a lot. You know, a lot of energy, a lot of work. So, yeah, I mean, I give credit to everybody that, you know, works on horror films and does horror films, you know, the crews and everything, because putting it together just really takes a lot out of you.
Well, when you look at some of the bigger stars, and that's going way back, you know, many, if not most, have gone through, quote unquote, you know, have participated at some point in their careers in the horror genre. So, you know, there's a certain nobility there, and I don't have the impression that it's easy. You know, all you got to do is, I mean, a lot of that just can't be faked, right? I mean, you're doing what you're doing, and, you know, people aren't typically having their entrails ripped out, but, you know, beyond that, I mean, the physical acts and the running around and the fighting and, you know, whatnot, I mean, that's all more or less real, and I would think it has to be absolutely exhausting and draining.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it definitely can be. But, you know, at the end of the day, I have to say, though, it's still, to this day, as long as I've been doing it, I always have a good time. Like, even in my exhaustion or whatever it is that has gone wrong, there's so many things that go right that are funny, you know, that are behind the scenes or that you had fun with, or just the scene was so good that, you know, and you totally bought it. So, yeah, it ends up being really fun, even in being tired in the work that it is.
When you're acting, do you ever forget that you're acting? I mean, do you ever get so into it that it feels real?
Well, for me, it's like, it's more like a moment-to-moment thing where there's some moments where it's literally like you're just so caught in the moment of it. Like, I'm always aware that I'm acting, and I don't so get lost that I'm not in touch with reality. But it's like, yeah, there's definitely moments where I'm like, wow, that was a real moment of whatever, you know, that was that we were just doing. And and I think that sometimes, like, people have explained it, like, even in auditions or when you are on a set and you're doing something, that you're so in the moment of it that you can mess up your lines or something because you're not thinking about the lines. You're actually thinking about what's going on.
You're too real for the movie. Well, let's talk about these other ones coming out. Now, Halloween Party, the comedy, Now, is that out now? And that's DVD, is that correct?
Well, that is going to DVD. It's not out quite yet. I believe that's going to be out more towards the end of November. But I don't have the exact date on that. But as soon as I do get it will be out this year, and as soon as I do get the date, I will definitely be posting the information about it.
Okay, and give us a little bit rundown on that movie.
Well, Halloween Party is the comedy where I play a leader of the pack, and there's three of us, and I play Cave Girl, and we also have another friend. Well, there's four of us, actually, but we're not so loyal to the fourth party, who is actually the girl at this party who's looking for love in all the wrong faces. And it's just the trials and tribulations of this night at the party where, you know, pretty much nobody is who they seem to be, and kind of everything is going wrong in the romantic sense of the word. So it's just everybody's different takes on this party.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it is. It's a funny movie, and you know, there's a few gross things here and there, so I think that counts into the horror factor. But overall, it's a very funny movie.
All right, now what about the Black Tape? Now you're co-starring in that one, right?
No, I'm starring in the Black Tape, and the Black Tape is a cross between Paranormal Activity and the Blair Witch Project. It's pretty dark. There's some scenes in it that are just so scary and psychologically twisted and gory that I really can't give too much away about. They're working on it right now, and even tomorrow I'm going in for ADR and some of the footage because they're trying to get this finished to have it out next year. But this one, when we shot it and the way they shot it is, it's really something, the idea that they have. I mean, is all I can really say is, like, it really is kind of like the Paranormal Activity. It's pretty psychologically disturbing.
So is it a found footage kind of thing?
Kind of,
shot
yeah.
That way?
Uh-huh. It's pretty mysterious. And I didn't even get the full script. And even to this day, I don't know what happens at the end. Like,
wow.
I know what happens to my character and what my character does, but I don't know if that was the end or if there's some other end that I don't know about, because they didn't release the full script to any of us.
A faux end.
Yes, a faux end.
Cool. And then you are the beautiful and loyal wife of Dracula in Creep Creeperson's Dracula.
Yes.
What's up with that?
Well, I play Francine, and it's kind of a different take on Dracula, just because Dracula's in this one is in a state that he's not, or in a state of mind that he's not aware that he's in. So his reality of what's really happening with the people around him, and like how he's drinking blood and getting blood, and how people are treating him, is not at all the reality of what's really happening. And what he really turns out that it is that he's doing. So, again, it's like I can't give away what this
yeah,
what
now
it
I'm
is.
Confused.
But, I mean, I know, because I have to be careful what I say. But, yeah, it's pretty twisted, too. And it's not like a lost tape footage or anything like that. It's like it's shot exactly, you know, how it is. But it's definitely also there's some really disturbing scenes in that one as far as, like, there's one scene I walk in and he's having his feast, his daily feast, and just the dialogue of what he says and what he's doing to get it is just so disgusting and so bloody that when I walked in and literally saw this, and I've been on, you know, a lot of horror film sets, the way they did it, I wasn't expecting to see it like that, so even I was surprised.
You were taken aback.
I was taken aback, and I'm sure that they got that on camera. Hopefully they'll use that take, but yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Maybe they intended that.
I think they did, because yeah, I wasn't anywhere near the set when they were setting it up, and all of a sudden I was thrown into it.
Well, we should mention that all of this activity is at the moment is kind of built around the fact that you are attending the Blood at the Beach Horror Convention, and that's in Virginia Beach this weekend, the 9th through the 11th, and they'll be showing Big Bad Wolf, a.k.a., or formerly known as, I guess we should say, right?
Yes.
FKA,
yes.
Huff, and you'll be there, of course, and Charlie O'Connell and a bunch of other people, and we'll actually be speaking with, I guess, the owner of the convention a little bit, Al. Teresa, have you attended any of these horror conventions before?
I have not been to a horror convention. I've been to, you know, like these little paranormal conventions where it's mostly my type, the ghost hunters or the investigators or the authors. But I've always wanted to go to the horror convention, and we're hoping that next year things have changed and we do get asked to go to some of these conventions, because I think that would be a blast. Plus Virginia Beach, you know, in November. Yeah, I'll take that. No problem. It just seems like a great way to meet these people in the industry that you wouldn't normally meet. Even in your line of work, Lena, when you're working, you don't get to meet all these people. So it's a great way for them to get together. I mean, I guess that's the idea behind a convention. But just to be able to see these special screenings and meet all these other people and people who work in the industry, and then the fans. I bet this is a great way for the fans to come out and meet you as well.
Yeah, it is. I hadn't done any conventions up until we just did Dallas, Texas Frightmare, and a couple of months ago, and then we went to Philadelphia for Comic-Con. So those were the first, you know, conventions and festivals that I went to. And I have to say, it's so true. I mean, the interaction with the fans is huge. I mean, you know, at our table, and then, you know, the tables next to us, like, you know, we had Tony Todd there, and then table next to us, and then Michael Madsen, and, you know, I mean, the fans just line up to see, you know, their favorite actors, and they're so nice, and they're so supportive, and they want to be there for the film, and, you know, they brought, you know, old DVD covers of other films that I've done, and, I mean, it was really fun, and they were just the things that they said were so nice, so it was, I mean, it really is all about the fans at the conventions and the festivals, so, mm-hmm. And it's really good. But, yes, it's always really good to see, you know, the people that work in the same industry and, you know, to find out what's going on, meet new people, and then, honestly, see people that you've worked with before that you never get to really see because everybody's so busy or lives somewhere else, and then you kind of get to reconnect, you know, years later and see what's going on. So it's like seeing an old friend.
Is that a way for you to also make other contacts and maybe find out when, if you have time, when your next project is going to be, or you get asked to do other things? It seems like a great way to network as well. I mean, I know that that's what we do at conventions, but just to have all those people, the meeting of the minds, everybody thinking the same thing along the same, you know, at the same time, I think that would be a great way to get the word out there. You know, because it's some of these conventions, you have these like big stars, like some of the conventions that I'm interested in, you have like the big major primetime stars that are on these big network shows, and then you have the reality stars, and then you have these little people that maybe aren't as known, but it's a chance for all of them to get together. But I think a horror convention might be a little more specialized. That's why I think it's like so exciting. Do you notice that people get dressed up? Have you seen anybody like come dressed as one of your characters that you've played in the past, or they come like from a scene in the movie dressed up as some of the other people? I've seen some crazy things at conventions.
When we were in Dallas, I mean, they were dressed up in all kinds of character outfits. I mean, they go all out. I mean, at one point when I, you know, was walking, the first day I was there, I was walking into the convention to go to the table, and I literally saw, like, the teeniest man walking, and he had somebody, a bigger man walking behind him in, like, the same exact outfit, and they were walking the same, and it looked really weird. It almost looked scary. And then I realized he came around later towards the tables, and the little man in front wasn't even really a man. It was, like, this thing he made, but the guy was walking exactly like him, and they looked like twins, except one bigger than the other, and it was so creepy that I was like, wow, I am like in the convention.
You're in the zone.
I am here, yeah. So, it was great. I mean, I had to walk around a few times, like, just to check everything out with my mouth dropped open, you know, because there was just so many things going on.
It's like Halloween every day, huh, everybody?
It is. It's like a super intense, you know, grown-up Halloween. Like, they don't mess around.
But what a way to, God, I just think that's awesome. What a way to just be able to cut loose and really get in. I know conventions have gotten, like, certain conventions have gotten, like, a bad name that people are geeks or whatever. But, you know, I would be proud to be at one of those conventions all dressed up like a zombie or my favorite character or something. I think that that's a form of self-expression. And as a non-actress, I don't get to do that. So I think it's great. And it's a place where they're accepted when they do it. I think it's fabulous. And I think that the fans that go all out should be given kudos to do that, because you know, it's not something you can do every day. I think it's awesome. Conventions, I would like to spend a year, Eric, just going around to all the conventions and writing about what I see. I think that would be amazing.
Well, there sure are a lot more of them than I realized, especially when you combine the more horror-oriented, which is, you know, geared basically toward pop culture, then with the more paranormal, so that's in theory kind of real life. So you have the investigators and the authors and the people on the teams and all that. But there's certainly a commonality there, and there's certainly overlap there. I was just wondering, when you guys were just talking now, ultimately, Alina, what do you think that people derive out of horror? I mean, why do they watch it?
Well, I think one of the reasons to watch horror is because it's so extreme in what's going on, be it the crazy scary monster or, you know, people getting murdered and, you know, pulling blood and guts out, and, you know, it's so intense that I think it's fascinating, and it's like disturbingly fascinating that you can't help but watch. It's almost like, you know, driving by and watching a car accident. It's like you just can't help but watch it because you're still dealing with people and like what's going on. And, you know, sometimes people have crazy thoughts, and I think in horror films, and not that they would ever do it, but I think in horror films it kind of expresses some of the crazy thoughts that cross people's minds sometimes, where they kind of watch and they're like, oh, my gosh, that's so nuts. Or on another hand, some people just want to be scared. You know, it's kind of exciting to be scared sometimes and then know that is all it was a movie, and then you're going to get up the next day and go to work and you're fine.
I think
that makes sense.
Yeah, I think watching horror films and these type of films, besides just the thrill of being scared, it's a safe place to let loose the demons that are hiding in the deep, dark recesses of your mind. I mean, like you said, Alina, maybe something you would never do, but, you know, those evil thoughts creep in when you get mad. Oh, God, I wish I could just hit that guy in the head with an axe. Or maybe it's just me that thinks that way. But you never do it. You never do it, you know. But you think, oh, I would just love to skin him alive. And when you get mad, and, you know, you're, of course, you're
wow,
just exaggerating. Don't get me mad, Eric. But, no, you know what I mean. It's like these little evil thoughts that creep up, and you'd never do them. But to see it, I don't know, I find them very cathartic myself. I think that it's great. Plus, it's just, the creativity that comes in it is awesome too. But I love being scared. I don't get scared that often. It takes a lot to scare me because I deal with a lot of real stuff as well as you know, just stuff I watch on TV. But I just love to be surprised and to see it taken to the next level. And I think that's, I love horror. I mean, I just loved it to see that. It just, I don't know, it makes me happy. Is that bad? Is that wrong? Maybe it is. Maybe I'm a little disturbed. I don't know. It makes me happy. It does. It makes me happy to watch this stuff.
I have to say, being on the other end of working on horror films, I think when I watch them, I like to see how it looks, you know, once it has all come together. Because obviously I'm on set. I see what's going on. I know that it's not real. I know, you know, if there's the hose pumping the blood out of it or, you know, or whatever it is that's going on, or what, you know, the intestines with all the blood are really made out of and feel like. So I think that when I can go see the film itself, be it that one or, you know, another film, I'm always fascinated on the effects and how real they make them look. And I've been on sets where I know for sure that I know what it looks like, and I'm just like, oh, my gosh, that's completely not real. I can see this is styrofoam or whatever. But then when I actually see it filmed, I mean, they do such a good job. It's so real looking.
Do you watch Face Off on Sci-Fi? Have you watched that show?
I haven't.
It's really interesting.
The makeup effects?
Yeah, it's exactly what you're talking about. It's horror, fantasy, sci-fi based, and they bring on a group of contestants who all have a background. They're all different ages and, you know, fairly different backgrounds, certain commonalities, of course. But, I mean, many of them come from the haunted houses. Lots of them have tattoo backgrounds, that kind of thing. But they all have some sort of practice. And then they have challenges, and they have to do whatever they're told to do, you know, this week, here's the theme, and here's what you're going to do, and blah, 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 blah. And it's really interesting, A, to see how these things are done and to see how many variables there are in creating these things. And then it's also interesting because they bring in either their regular guests or they bring in lots of guests who are, you know, really the stars of the industry. And it's really interesting to see those people and to kind of get their perspective on things and how they think about it. And, you know, when you're not in that business, you don't really sit there typically and think about how involved it is and how creative it is and how much skill is required. And that's what I've learned from the show. It's very entertaining as a result.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, I'll have to check that out. You know what? I have heard about the show and, that they bring in, you know, top-of-the-line makeup artists and do amazing things. So I'll have to watch that.
Yeah, I think it comes back on, and it's been very successful. I think it comes back on, just ended, a new season comes on, I think they said, in January. But, yeah, I mean, it's big, big stars. V. Neal is one of the regular judges. Glenn Hetrick, I forget his name, Patrick Tatopoulos. And then they just bring in all these people. So, I would think as someone who is in the know, someone who's in on all that you would find it fairly interesting. Why don't we go? I'm always interested in how people just got started. As I understand it, you're from Wyoming.
Yes.
And you began as a model, is that right?
I did. Yeah, I grew up in Wyoming, and then I came out here when I was 16. I signed with Elite Modeling Agency, and I got to travel and do runway, and it was really fun, and I liked it, and I was happy to travel, but I always knew that I wanted to get into acting. That was always the goal, and so just, you know, one foot in front of the other, I just kind of figured out, you know, I got a manager, and I started auditioning, and then the one day, one fateful day, I met John Carl Beekler, and it was actually at his special effects house in the Valley, and he was saying, you know, you should come in and audition for this film that I'm doing. And I had no idea, like, the horror genre, what that meant, that it was like this whole world of horror films. I mean, I really was kind of clueless about it. And so I went in for the audition, and then I went into the callback. It was the same day, funny enough. And then I got called that night, and they said, oh, you booked it. And I was like, yay, oh, my God, I'm so excited. And then we get to set, and I got schooled on what a horror film was, and it was so much fun. It was a blast. It was really fun. It was one of my favorite memories of working on the film. Gosh, this was probably like in 19, like maybe almost 2000. It was a while ago.
Yeah, and which movie was it? What was your first
one? Oh, sorry. It was Miner's Massacre. It was also known as Curse of the 49er. Some of those AKAs as well.
I love it when they have multiple titles. You
know? I know, sometimes
there's just something special about that. Well, we could call it this, or we could call it this.
Yeah, and I think they both work. Like, I like both those titles. So
they're both evocative, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So, that was really fun. And then I ended up working on another one after that. And then I worked on Creepshow 3, and we shot that on the Universal lot, and that was a lot of fun, especially
because
you know, it was part of the whole Creepshow family. And my character in that was just crazy. I mean, she really got what she deserved in the end. But I mean,
oh, they always do.
They always do. Yeah, they always do. It was so much fun. Every time I see it, I remember exactly every single day being on that set.
I love the studios. You know, it's just really a magic to it. And even though Universal Hollywood is, I mean, you know, it's basically a theme park now, but I mean, there's still real studios there, and they still really shoot things there, and it's really fun to see the back lot and just how it
so
all.
Much- Fun. I mean, the funny thing is, you know, we shot that, and then my mom had come to town, and she wanted, of course, to go to Universal and, you know, do the back lot. And so we literally took and they drove us right past where we had the set for Creepshow 3, and I was literally like, Mom, my character got killed right there. And she she knew exactly what I was talking about because, of course, she's seen the movie.
Well, I bet she has.
Yeah.
So what does she think of you being in all these horror movies and either killing or being killed over and over again?
Well, she would prefer that I didn't get killed because she says that she can't stand seeing me get killed in films. It bothers her. But yet she watches every single one of them knowing that I'm probably going to get killed. So I think she has that, you know, horror film fascination going on as well. I'll have to ask her about that. But no, she likes it. I mean, she's, you know, she loves watching the films. Like, but honestly, she's my mom. She likes watching everything that I'm in.
Yeah.
She's biased.
Hey, I saw pictures in your... on your site, and that you went to the opening of the Goratorium in Vegas.
Yeah, I did. Oh, wow. That was quite a haunted house, I have to say. It was very, very intense. I think it's like a 7-minute walkthrough, and it's like kind of a maze, but you know where to walk through it. But, oh, wow. I recommend anybody who's into horror films go to the Goratorium in Vegas.
Man, the pictures look grim. It looks like it's really horrifying.
It's horrifying, and it's so gory. I mean, it's literally one gore fest after another, and there was a few things walking through there where it was just even too much for me, where I was like, oh, my gosh, I got to get out of this room. It was
no, they didn't do that.
Yeah, they have some stuff in there where it's pretty disturbing, but I mean, they accomplished what they wanted, and I think that that's great, and people will not be disappointed.
And that's open year round, right?
Yeah. Well, and the good thing is if you've been once, you know, they're gonna change up, you know, here and there, so it's like a different haunted house when you walk in. So
oh.
You know, if you've been one time, you can go another time, and it's a whole different setup.
Do you know Eli Roth?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I met him a few times. So it was definitely fun.
He'd be a good guy to work with.
Oh, for sure. Oh, my gosh, yeah, the hostel. And
he seems very disturbed to me. He has some issues, man. He's got some, I'm like, whoa, dude, like that hostel, it kind of creeped me out. What was the term they were using? Torture porn or something?
Yes.
I prefer the scary more than the torture-y thing. But my God, was it a great idea? Was it different and creative and, you know, and obviously successful? So, but he
seems
like,
yeah, and that was really disturbing. Mm. So I mean, that was really intense.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, hey, you know, great minds. Sometimes they're a little dark, but. You know,
yeah,
he would be a fascinating guy to sit down and have a cup of coffee with.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's funny because, you know, he comes walking through and he's, you know, he has this chainsaw and it's a real chainsaw. He's walking down, you know, with everybody running across this place with this chainsaw. And it's like only Eli Roth would do that.
That's his exaggeration.
Only he could get away with it.
Yeah, totally, and everybody was okay with it. That's the thing. Like, anybody else running through with a chainsaw would have been, you know, they would have thought they were some, like, crazy lunatic, but he comes walking through, running through with a live chainsaw, and everybody was thoroughly entertained.
Because, you know, it's his place.
It's his place, yeah.
Exactly,
he's allowed.
Anyone else would be, you know, reprimanded or hurled to the ground and arrested immediately.
Right.
So, can you imagine getting a call from Eli Roth saying, hey, Alina, I want you to be in my new movie. And, I don't know, the first thing that would come to my mind is, what type of horrible thing is in store for my character in an Eli Roth movie? But, I mean, I guess it's a good
what
thing.
What indignities will be wrought upon me?
Yes, what will I
That's
endure?
That's part of the fun of being in the horror genre, because you never know. Like, on the black tape, I have to tell you, even though I can't exactly tell you.
Oh, please
you,
do, please do, please do.
I can't. But I want to so bad. But what happened to me, like, because I didn't get the full script, and then we had to go back in and then shoot some additional stuff that I didn't even get in my original not full script, I was literally like, are you, like, really? This is really going to happen to me? I mean, it's so raunchy. I was just like, wow, okay. So I signed up for it. So, yeah.
That's kind of cool, though.
Well, that's funny that you still can be surprised. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it says something about you. You're not jaded yet, it sounds like.
No, not yet, but after that. I mean, this is pretty crazy.
We'll see after the
but
movie.
But now you
out.
Are. You weren't.
Right, I
you
might
are.
Be now after what I just went through on the black tape. But no, I mean, no, but it was great. Like, what they did completely worked. Like, I thought it was so raunchy and mean what they did, but in the same sense, it completely went along and made what they were doing in the film better. So I was like, yes, absolutely. Let's do it.
You got it.
Yeah.
So what role, what's your favorite role? What are you most proud of so far?
Oh, geez. Well, I have to say, you know, I just have a soft spot in my heart for in Miner's Massacre for Roxanne, because it was like my initiation into the horror world, and like I just went in and went for it, and like even to this day, I still say it was just one of the funnest times and sets to work on, and it was so exciting, and you know, they had these blow up scenes, and we're crawling in these crazy, you know, underground tunnel mazes, and you know, just working with Vernon Wells and, you know, Karen Black. It was just so exciting to me that I think that was one of my favorite characters.
Huh. And that was really early on. Well, that was
that was early on. Uh-huh.
It was a great way to start.
Yeah, completely. It was a really good way to walk into the business. And then I worked with him again, you know, on a couple of other films. Like I did The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. That he directed, which was, well, that was also a fun character. I mean, it's honestly, it's so hard to say what my favorite character is, because I feel like it is always changing, because like one day I'll remember something else about something that happened on a set, and I'll be like, oh yeah, gosh, I really loved that. You know, so it's almost like asking me what my favorite part in a film is, because it's like, I don't know, because there's like the moments in films that are my favorite parts. It's not necessarily the whole film sometimes.
That's very interesting. I'm not sure that anyone has told me that before. That's a very interesting, it's kind of a very different way of looking at it. But I suppose it's a realistic way from the perspective of someone who is really involved or who is in all of those moments. So, you know, in other words, when we the audience are thinking about these things, we are thinking about the finished movie, you know, we're watching it beginning to end, we're seeing it as a movie, and we're not really too much anyway thinking about what went into it and all the different details and all the behind the scenes stuff and all the things that, you know, we've been talking about now for a while. You see it as a finished product. And that's a very different perspective from the people who created it.
Yeah, that's true. That's a very good point. It's so true. It's so true.
I mean, if you don't, I mean, I've heard people say, people have told me before, actors and actresses, they've never even seen some of these things. You know, for one reason or another, they just, whatever, they didn't get around to it. It was a TV thing, and they just missed it, and, you know, they didn't record it, or I've just, you know, any number of things, or they chose not to see it for whatever reason, a film. So all of their memories of it are of the creation rather than the finished product.
Right. Yeah, there's been a few things that I hadn't seen for the longest time. I mean, I try to see everything that I've been in, because I think it's just a, like you said, it's such a good perspective, you know, coming from actually being on it, you know, help create it, and then to actually seeing the finished product, you know, to step away from it. Because at first I used to, like, you know, of course, be watching myself, picking myself apart, and then now I'm, like, sober, and I can just watch it for what it is and then judge it like that. So I think it's, for me, it's important to watch it to see, because, yeah, it's a whole different perspective, for sure.
All right, now, Teresa knows we have a question we have to ask, because we're America's Most Haunted. Have you had any paranormal experiences yourself?
I have had a couple of paranormal experiences over the course of my life. So, yes, I have.
Please share them.
Okay. Well, it started off when I was a little girl. And we, it's so typical, we played with the Ouija board, but we played downstairs in a basement with it. And honestly, I don't even think we would have needed the Ouija board. I mean, the basement clearly had some stuff going on. And then later had found out, you know, my mom told us that, because it was at her friend's house, and her friend had told her that, you know, when they moved in the house, the people let them know that there was a woman that was murdered in the basement.
Ooh.
Now, we didn't know this because if my mom, like, would have told us this at the time, like, we would have freaked out, of course, but because it was pretty fresh. It wasn't like it was years and years ago. It was pretty fresh. So when every time we went downstairs, it always felt really just dark and heavy and yucky. So, of course, we have to take the Ouija board down there to see what's going on. And it was me and my sister and our cousin. And I thought for sure my cousin was messing around and kind of moving the thing around. But he, like, literally none of us were. And it was moving. And, I mean, it was pretty, even though it was, like, moving on its own as far as we know, unless literally they were so good at pulling the wool over my eyes that I didn't know. But there was definitely something in the basement that was really scary, like just a dark, dark energy that was not good. Mm. And then I've had the same type of experience sometimes. Like, I had an old apartment where literally, like, the door creaked open one time. But, oh, but I have an even scarier one. There was a house, I'll keep this one short, but there was a house, but this one was, like, one of the most scary ones of all. There was this house that we had rented in San Francisco, right on the outskirts in an old part. And the house completely felt creepy. But the weird thing was is that somebody was sleeping downstairs and I was sleeping upstairs. And they had come upstairs and they're like, what do you keep walking around for? And it was like the middle of the night. I'm like, wait, I was asleep. What are you talking about? Because I was literally in bed. And then they go back downstairs and they come back up a little bit later. They're like, there's somebody walking up here. And I'm like, no, I've been in bed the entire time. So I go downstairs and they literally are walking around the room and it sounds like a train is upstairs. I mean, it was so loud, but they were doing it on purpose so I could hear it. But the weird thing was, is that I wasn't walking around. So there was something in the room, like moving on the carpet while I was asleep. But the thing that really sealed the deal was when we were leaving, because I have a habit of opening the curtains every day and then shutting them at night. I mean, I do it like clockwork no matter where I'm at. And so the next morning we were about to leave and I had went to open one curtain on one side. I opened it and I looked over and the other curtains were open. And they were literally closed a second earlier. And there was no movement to them or anything. I mean, they were open right when I opened the other ones. I ran out of that house so fast. I could barely get the door shut behind me. It was literally like one of those ones where you're grabbing the handle trying to open the door and you almost can't open it because I was so panicked running down the stairs that I could just feel whatever it was like right on my tail. I was so scared. And it was like
you're fumbling
scare.
With the keys and you're trying to get the key in the ignition and, oh, my God, I broke it. Oh, no.
Yeah, it was like they should have had a camera there. That would have been the perfect horror film. It was so scary.
Very interesting. Well, I would think you can bring some of that, perhaps, kind of resurrect those feelings, you know, sometimes when you're in these movies.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I definitely, when the scenes get really intense or, you know, you really, really have to bring in the fear factor, you know, because the camera obviously picks up on everything. I definitely have to go to those places and really find that scared feeling and that real fearful feeling and things like that I definitely use.
So you believe in the paranormal?
I do. I definitely do. I mean, and there's been, you know, many experiences over the course of my life where I've come across things like that. And yeah, there's no doubt about it.
Very interesting. Well, I believe we have Al with us. Al, are you on the line?
Yep, here now.
Excellent.
Hi, Al.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
We are having a jolly time here. But we'd like to talk about Blood at the Beach. Of course, Alina is going to be there, and you guys will be screening what is now known as Big Bad Wolf. And she'll be there with Charlie O'Connell and all kind, a galaxy, a veritable galaxy of horror stars. including cast members of The Walking Dead. You have a weird science reunion. Oh, my God, that's in my age range. I about popped my pants when I saw that. That is hilarious. I'd love to go to that. But you got Q&A sessions with celebrities, giveaways, live music, after parties, freak show, tattooing, costume contest, and film screenings. Holy cats.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be real fun. Thank God the weather is not going to
number two, right?
Yeah. Yep. Number two.
All right. Well, give us some of the details. How'd you get into this? And what compelled you to put such a thing together? And maybe give us a few of the what you think of as the highlights. And let's encourage people to get on down there.
Well, it started, I always wanted to do something with entertainment. So years ago, of course, I was trying to find bands get in New Jersey. And that didn't work out. So I went on to, ended up shooting bands for some years. And I kind of wanted to find something else to get into. So I started going to these shows, I guess, about 10 years ago. And just kept going to them many times throughout the, you know, each year, different shows. And it led up to, I wanted to do one a few years ago, but there was already places in Jersey putting on shows. So when I finally moved to Virginia Beach, I had two blocks from us. There was that Ty Pennington, you know, putting on that Extreme Home Makeover.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the middle of like, February, and it was raining. And it literally seemed like the whole town was just taking over the streets to see that. So I figured it seemed like they didn't get a treat of, I guess, celebrities around here or, you know, big events. So that's what, you know, I decided to try it out and put one on here, and it worked out well, the first one.
When was that one?
April.
Oh, so not that long ago.
No.
So you're going to do two a year? I mean, is that the plan?
Yes, yeah, so far, yeah. It'll probably be every April, November. Yep.
Interesting. So now how did you connect with Alina? How do you find all these people to bring in, and what are the nuts and bolts of that?
A friend of mine was talking to me about, the Pixelated Dimension podcast, and he put me in touch with them, and I talked with them over there, and they had mentioned about Charlie in this movie that he's in, and then they mentioned Elena, so I said, yeah, you know, why not? So they got a hold of them, and you know, everything worked out, so.
And can I just add to that, because the Pixelated Dimension guys, we had met them at the festival in Philadelphia, which goes back to, yes, when you're at the festivals and you meet people, it's a great way to network. And then things like this happen and come together, which I think is so great. I mean, those guys are so cool.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, networking is a major thing in here. I still try to network with whoever I can to see what new, you know, what new things, events, or, you know, new people I can bring to the shows.
Yeah.
Well, and it's all about kind of varied entertainment. So I would think you want that input to get that fresh perspective on who's doing what. You know, what are all the different things that we can do that people will enjoy, so they'll not only like it this time but want to come back, I would think. What kind of repeat are you getting, do you think, from the first one in April?
As far as what the events, what we're doing?
As far as the people attending, are you getting people coming back?
I mean, we have, I'm sure we have like a lot of repeaters that are coming in, and then there's a lot around this area. It seems within Hampton Roads and Richmond and stuff that they even know about it. And so it seems like they're coming out now because it seems like we're having more, you know, replies. A lot of people hearing the commercial on the radio for it and through the print media. So Virginia Beach is big, and they just, for a vacation spot, it's just funny that they don't really get these events here other than concerts, you know.
I think these conventions are, plus all these conventions, it seems like a lot of them start maybe late summer and go through Halloween. And I don't know, maybe I'm not like normal people, but I'm not done after Halloween.
I want more. So it would be great. We don't get a lot. We don't get any of the big conventions here where we're at in the Cleveland area. Maybe it's because it's not like a destination that people want to go to as opposed to Virginia Beach. But I think that it can continue well after the Halloween season. The season can go on. And I think the conventions just get bigger. And I'm sure this one's going to be bigger than it was in the spring. And then next year will be even bigger. And when you have people like Elena, I mean, because she is horror, but she's not just horror. She's done commercials. She's done television, you know, and, and that's got to bring in a whole nother group of interest. I think it's fabulous to get that crossover. I think it's great.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Some people complain. You always see people complaining with different conventions, you know, the fans. They want, I guess because you do horror or something has, or it's titled with something with horror, it's got to be strictly horror. But I would always like to add in some pop culture in there, this, you know, a few. The main thing will be horror, but I like to throw in some, you know, something to cross over, you know,
yeah,
other people that aren't really big into horror. So,
well, there's an intersection too of all, you know, there's sci-fi, there's horror, there's thrillers, there's fantasy, you know, there's a commonality there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, let's tell people about how to get information. It's the website is bloodatthebeach.com. And again, this is Virginia City. I mean, excuse me, Virginia Beach.
Virginia Beach.
And it's coming up this weekend, right?
That's the Cavalier Hotel.
Right, the new Cavalier. People keep asking if it's the old haunted one or the new one, but it's the new one.
Oh, there's an old
Well,
haunted
shouldn't it
one?
Be
oh
at
God.
The old haunted one?
Yeah, there's no space in there for an event. That's the only thing. It's a shame. I mean, it makes
there's
it
too
reminds
many ghosts.
You of, like, it reminds you of the, you know, it was built in 1927 and everything in there is still original. So it's really neat to go in there. It's just a shame there's no space in there for an event, you know.
Well, can't we call the other one a new haunted hotel now?
Yeah, right.
Well, why don't you give us, we only have a few more minutes. As always, these hours go extremely quickly. Al, why don't you give us just what you know, just a quick rundown of the highlights of the convention. You know, what should people really be looking for?
Well, the Q&A panels that we have on Saturday, you know, we'll have the Weird Science Reunion, The Walking Dead, and then we'll have Charlie and Alina after their film houses. What is it? You said now it's The Big Bad Wolf.
Yeah.
After that,
it's screening at 5:30.
Yes. So after that, there will be a Q&A panel with them. Saturday night will be the VIP party, which starts at 10, and that's kind of like a VIP party / zombie prom. So they'll be doing a, we'll have three celebrity judges that'll be, you know, at midnight doing the crowning the king and queen for that. Friday, we have the film screens, and then there's going to be a horror / burlesque show that'll happen Friday night. And Saturday and Sunday we have the celebrity photo op. So if, you know, even though you can get photos with the, you know, celebrities at their tables, if you want a, you know, professional photo op done with a backdrop and everything, they'll also be able to do that. Then we have a blood drive Friday.
Of course,
awesome.
You do.
The show.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's good thinking. That's a great
time.
Yeah,
then we'll have a pre-party. We have a pre-party to kick off the show Thursday night at Peabody's Nightclub. And then Friday at 2 p.m., there's a zombie walk at Town Center.
Man, you have been busy.
Yeah, I don't get a break. I don't get a break.
Well, it sounds really entertaining. It sounds like there's all different kinds of things, so it's not just one thing. You know, there's all kinds of variety. And I think it sounds like a terrific event. I'd love to make it down, but of course, I can't.
I know. I feel so fortunate to be able to go, and I'm so excited that Huff, like you said, is going to be screening there on Saturday at 5:30. And the whole convention. I can't wait to do the rounds myself and check it all out because it looks so fun.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be fun here, and the people are very friendly here. I guess it's their southern hospitality, they call it.
Yeah.
But everybody's so friendly around here, so.
We'll have to come next year, Eric.
Yes,
we'll have to make
absolutely.
It down there for sure.
Yeah, you know, we're really just kind of still getting started with the whole America's Most Haunted. The core of the brand is a book, and we're just kind of waiting on finishing up that book deal, and then everything kind of goes from there. In the meantime, we're having a blast. We get to do the radio show and talk to all different kinds of cool people and make contacts, networking, as we were discussing, and just having a really great time. And I'm learning a ton. Teresa's the expert. She's been doing investigations for many, many years. I'm coming at it more from the journalist media standpoint. So I'm learning all kinds of stuff and having a great time, and it's really fun. So, hey, yeah. Another great show. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Best of luck, Alina, with all of your films that are coming out. It's amazing. Check her out at alinamadison.com. And Al, best wishes on the show. Hope it's a big success. Yes. And
thank you.
And they just keep getting bigger and better.
Alina, so.
Oh, yeah. How cool would that be?
Thank you.
How cool would that be?
Blood at the Beach is this weekend. Bloodatthebeach.com, right? That's the website for this weekend's event. Yeah, so check it out, everyone. We'll get a lot of people listening to archives, so hopefully they'll hear it before this weekend. So wish we could be there, but thank you so much for joining us. This has been awesome.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Oh, man, this was an honor. This was so different. This was great. It was great talking to you, Al and Alina. It was awesome talking to you.
I know, you guys too. Thank you. That was so much fun. Oh, gosh.
I'm glad. Well, we had a ball, and again, we wish you both nothing but the best, and we'll keep an eye on what you guys are up to, and we'll talk again as we go forward.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great night. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.